From the book of Luke, I'm starting to read at verse 28, the triumphal entry. After Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Father, thank you for this special day, and thank you for your word to us this morning. And I pray that you will just be with Paul now as he shares this with us. Just bless him as he speaks and open our hearts and minds to hear what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you all. I wonder if any of you remember this television program. That was the week that was. Yes, that's wonderful. You might know what I'm talking about. It was a TV show which started, I think, in the 60s, and it featured David Frost and Millicent Martin. I think that's her singing the theme song. Willie Rushton and Lance Percival, you may remember some of those personalities. It was labelled a satirical look at the week that had just been. I would call it sarcastic, but nevertheless. Our word today is certainly not satirical or sarcastic, or even about the week that has just been, but it's about the week ahead, about the life, the last week in the life of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Good Book. It begins, of course, as our reading outlined, on the day that we now call Palm Sunday, with Jesus triumphantly riding into Jerusalem on a donkey colt. I don't think his disciples had the faintest idea what he was up to as they neared Jerusalem from the far side of the Mount of Olives. He sent two of them ahead as they climbed the gentle slope past the small village of Bethany and into the even smaller one of Bethphage. So verse 30, the instructions he gave to them was, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" And of course, it happened exactly as Jesus said it would. So that by the time he and the rest of his group came up, the colt already had somebody's cloak over it for Jesus to sit on. I think word must have gone ahead of them, because by the time they descended the other side, going down towards Jerusalem, there was a great crowd spreading their cloaks on the ground with branches from the trees on the ground and waving in their hands. They were shouting and greeting him with quotes from the Psalms. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And according to the other Gospels, they were chanting Hosanna in exclamation and praise. And that, when literally translated, means save. What a wonderful celebration of the coming King. Jesus is enacting the prophecy of Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus chose. He made a decision to follow the role of his predecessor, the revered King David, who rode on a humble donkey, rather than the Roman conquerors who would come wearing all their battle finery and riding on a mighty war horse at the head of their procession, their victory procession. Characteristically, the Pharisees were not pleased. Verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." It's as if they're saying, "We can't have this noisy, outlandish behavior on a sunny Sunday afternoon. It's not done." But Jesus responds, verse 40, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. He continued weeping for the city and prophesying its overthrow by the Roman forces, which happened in AD 70. And that annoyed them even further. This was the beginning of the verbal battle, which carried on right through that Holy Week between Jesus and the Jewish rulers. And it culminated in their apparent victory on what we call now Good Friday, as Jesus died on the cross. We know that was Friday, and Sunday's coming. Sunday, when Jesus won the ultimate victory over the scribes and Pharisees, over Satan, over sin, and over death, as he rose again. Let's continue to look at some of the highs and the lows of this Holy Week. It would seem that Jesus and his disciples would spend the evenings and probably even sleep in Bethany at their friend's home, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Sheila and Rob last week spoke from the scriptures about Mary anointing Jesus' feet with precious perfume. Most mornings, they would walk into the temple area in the centre of Jerusalem. Mark tells us that on the Monday morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Now, I find that rather strange, rather surprising, because Martha's reputation was a lady who looked after her guests. She was a caring hostess. I think she would have fed them with the Jewish equivalent of the great English breakfast. But for some reason, we read in Mark 11, beginning at verse 13, "Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, Jesus went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard him say it." And then when they reached the temple, they found, as usual, in the outer area of the temple, the court of the Gentiles, people were changing ordinary money into temple money. The traders were selling all kinds of birds and animals for sacrifices. There was bartering, there was bargaining, and it was pandemonium. Jesus waded into the middle of it, turning over tables and benches, driving out pigeons and goats and sheep, and declaring at the top of his voice, "It is written, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." His actions, his words, and his quotes from Scripture really did not endear him to the authorities. And then Tuesday, again, in Mark's Gospel, he recounts that the fig tree had actually withered. And this enabled him to encourage his disciples in their faith. There might have been a hidden meaning there as well. When they get to the temple courts, the Pharisees are waiting for them with a series of awkward and pointed questions designed to trip Jesus up. "Where does your authority come from?" they wanted to know. To which Jesus replied, "I ain't going to tell you unless you tell me about John's baptism. Was it from heaven or was it from man?" No answer. Jesus 1, authorities 0. Then they went on to ask him about taxes. "Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" They're getting political now, but Jesus is up for it. Luke 20, verse 23. He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius, whose portrait and inscription are on it." "Caesar's," they replied. He said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent. Jesus 2, Pharisees 0. Then back to the Jewish traditions and the scripture with a question from the Sadducees, verse 27. They asked him about marriage and resurrection, a very contorted question. But Jesus came back to them with an answer which silenced them as well. And then he asked them a question. "Is the Christ the son of David?" They scratched their heads a little bit and couldn't answer him. No answer from his protagonists, but great delight from the ordinary people. Jesus 3, authorities 0. And so the great duel continued throughout the week. Wednesday has been labelled the silent day, or the day of rest, because the Gospels tell us nothing about what happened on the Wednesday. Thursday evening was the celebration of the Passover, the beginning of the greatest Jewish festival. Judas had already given the chief priests and the Pharisees a boost by going to them and offering to betray Jesus. They were delighted, and they paid him 30 pieces of silver, a handsome reward. Jesus then sent Peter and John with specific instructions to find a place and to prepare a meal for the group, which they duly did. According to St. John, Jesus washed the disciples' feet and pointed them to servanthood. The other Gospels tell us that they celebrated Passover and that Jesus instituted what we now call Holy Communion. And we're privileged, aren't we, each week to share in bread and wine. In Jesus' name. I wonder how much the disciples understood about the new covenant which Jesus talked to them about. By now, it was Friday. For the Jews, the next day actually starts as the sun falls the previous evening. Jesus and his disciples made their way to one of their favourite quiet places, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, Jesus experienced the last but one temptation to run away. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Three times he prayed that. Minutes later, he was arrested by the crowd sponsored by the Jewish authorities. Their emotions had changed from adulation to condemnation. They'd been poisoned by the Jewish authorities. And over the next few hours, Jesus went through mock trials before the Jewish authorities and then before the Roman procurator, Pilate. He was assaulted, he was battered, he was whipped, he was tortured, and eventually he was hung on a cross between two criminals. He hung there in agony for 6 hours as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, for the sins of you and for the sins of me. And his death at 3 o'clock on that fateful Friday was the end, or so they thought. But that was the week that was. The week that changed the world and changed you and changed me. We want to invite you to walk through this week with Jesus by reading what Matthew and Mark and Luke and John said and recorded in their holy gospels. And maybe you would like to join us in some of the services that are here. We have services on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday at 6 o'clock, part of the Easter journey. We celebrate Holy Communion on Thursday at 7 to 8. And on Friday, we meet at 2 o'clock to reflect at the cross. Do come and join us for those. And then finally, we celebrate on Easter Day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.